Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are today across this earth. You are joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, and Simon Pinchbeck today. It is Christmas week. We are leading up to the birth of our Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you so much for joining us here at hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Simon, good morning. Good morning. We're in.
Good morning, Ben. It's great to be back again. And there's a lot of work going on in the church here
it's
today.
Barmy.
It's crazy. It's crackers. We've got all the trades all at once, all doing their own thing.
Oh, Lord.
But you know what was great, Ben? You know, I had a chat with one of the plasterers today, you know, the guys who's doing the pebble dashing, and he actually said he picked up the book that we'd done on the hashtag Christian Straight Talk, Men's Talk. He said he couldn't put it down. He said the lettering was great. He said it was
simple, easy to read.
Really impacted him. And as a proper fella on the job, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a proper fella on the job, working away.
Bigger compliment.
That was really good. That was really good to hear that. Great bit of feedback. Yeah, and there's another one coming out soon. It's on the press.
It is, yeah.
It's on the press. It's going good.
Early in the new year. It's it's hashtag two, Christian Straight Talk, and it's on fear, Ben, isn't it?
It's on fear. Yeah. Wow. When you look across the world of everything that's going on at the moment, fear is driving so much, isn't it? And, gosh.
It's amazing. It spreads like wildfire, Ben, fear, doesn't it? And that book really puts into perspective, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It really does.
So, you know, you've only got to drop a name of another variant and all of a sudden, you know...
Oh, dear, there's another one. Oh,
we're in trouble.
We're in trouble. Fear is very, very...
If you haven't got the Lord in your life, it must be very difficult.
It must be really difficult, for someone that hasn't got Christ and someone that is going completely in the way of the world, walking with that and just hearing all the stuff. But, you know, God is working in everybody's lives. I really believe that planet Earth is really feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. I really believe God is speaking into all families, all cultures. I really see that, and I really feel for the first time in my Christian walk with him that I'm seeing things I never thought I'd ever see across the platform or in church, out of church. And quite interestingly, I'm seeing more happening outside the framework of the structure of church because it's become so rigid, isn't it?
Well, you know, the great thing is about coming here, if you walk through, it is like a battlefield, isn't it? You know,
it's
stuff everywhere. There's sheets up all over the front of the church. But, you know, the bricklayer, who's Clive, bless him, he's not a man of God, is he? But
no.
Do you know what? He brought a flag, didn't he? And
flag up the front. He's bought the two flags on the front of this church.
One is Jesus is King and one is Jesus is Love, isn't it?
Jesus is, yeah.
It's, the message is getting through.
You know. Yeah, and it's really interesting that I am, and I do believe there are a lot of others out there that are seeing God working in their lives, you know, and the church is quite tired and quite stagnant, isn't it, across the UK, and especially the news that's coming out, a lot of churches are just closing their doors voluntarily at this moment, not with any government press. They just think, you know, where are we in the UK spiritually? We're really tired and very thin, aren't we? We're in a bit of trouble. We're in that fear position.
We're in the fear position.
Within that church. But we thank God that the power of the Holy Spirit is really dealing with all this stuff going on. We're in a great position, really, across this world.
You know, someone's reaching out, Ben. What do they say to them? Oh, go online.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in fairness, you know, Zoom is a great medium, I'm sure, but Zoom church ain't church, is it?
No. We've got to be gathering. Don't forget the coming together, the scripture says, the gathering of the saints. That's really, really important. And thanks be to God that we keep the doors open here and we keep pushing in. And we keep pressing, you know, keep pressing, keep praying for the government, keep praying for all these people that have got to make these decisions, you know, and thank God it ain't down to us, but God is in full charge, but it's about living by faith. Simon, what are we discussing today? We've gone on a little girly tangent.
Sort of went off the track a little bit, didn't we? But
where are we?
It's all good stuff.
It's all stuff.
So we're still talking about courage, Ben, and we've been talking about courage for
quite a few weeks.
We're getting on, I guess, for nearly 2 months. We've been talking about courage because it's massive in people's lives, taking the courage to do things. And today we're going to talk about making the courage to make wise decisions. having the courage to make wise decisions. We get decisions, you have to make decisions every single day. You don't realise it, but you're making a decision. You make a decision to listen to this podcast. You make a decision, you know, to do whatever you do. You make a decision to get out of bed in the morning sometimes. That's a tough one for people. But we have to make the courage to make the right decisions.
And also, really interestingly, there are people making decisions for us that are not godly and not wise in certain areas of life.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah.
And then we have to, within that, make a decision of what do I do? Because the decision that they bring to me may be, and not possibly, a godly move. So as a Christian, in the framework of government, in the framework of this nation, even in denomination, isn't it? The decisions that have been made over the last number of months have not been godly decisions. So how does a believer stand in a denomination, stay in a denomination, when there's been an ungodly decision? It's quite difficult, isn't it, as a believer, because there are lots of arrows coming to us. There are lots that have made good decisions, and also on the other side of the fence, there are bad decisions. But for an individual, trying to work out and to work through, we actually can't do that. What we need is the Holy Spirit to make sure he gives us godly counsel. So this is a critical subject, isn't it, for a believer?
It's huge, Ben. And the thing is, you're going to get nowhere unless you're in the Word of God, are you?
No.
You're going to be tossed like the wind unless you've got the...
Exactly.
Unless you've got the anchor of the Word of God to hold to. So stuff has to be tested biblically, doesn't it?
And definitely.
And we've said it many times on this podcast, Ben, you either believe that the Bible is a sovereign word of God or you don't. And you know, where we stand, you can't just pick and choose the bits that you like out of the Bible. It is all or nothing. So if you're in a church that's preaching something that doesn't rest in your spirit,
makes you feel a little bit gritty, makes you feel a little bit uncertain.
Yeah, then test it. Yeah. With the words, you know, that's a good one. I love the, there's a prayer been out there called the Serenity Prayer, and it's used a lot in what they call, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, they call it the rooms, you know, and that's for another day, those areas. But the Serenity Prayer is this. It says, Lord, give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, to the courage to change the things that I can, but the wisdom to know the difference. And I think that's a big thing, Ben. It's the wisdom to know the difference.
The difference.
Some things we can't change. Some things...
No, we can't. That's quite a tricky one, isn't it? Some things we can't change. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through to 6, we've mentioned this before in other podcasts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. So the only way that we're going to get through is completely, so a wise decision. What is a wise decision?
Well, Ben...
How do we sum that? How do we box that up? Because I think it could be a wise decision, what you're saying about through that prayer. It's quite a tricky thing, isn't it? When you start looking at the word wise.
I mean, that bit of scripture you read out, I mean, if you just had one bit of scripture, that ain't a bad bit of scripture to have, is it? You know?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
So straight away, it takes away the networking. Straight away, it takes away the enabling. Straight away, it takes away human decisions. Straight away, it is going by faith. But in faith... To go by faith, I've still got to be wise, because the Holy Spirit is the counsellor. So when I say it's tricky, it's not tricky, but it is tricky from a human viewpoint, because we have been given so many decisions over the last number of years that have been bad counselling in church, out of church, structure, business, government decisions, denomination. So now we're like trying to sift through, aren't we?
So you may have a choice put before you, and you have to make a decision on that choice. Where do you go to? If it's a huge thing about society, then obviously, you know, you've heard what the government have to say, but is it in line with what you believe as a believer, as a Christian? Where do people go? Do you go to your, what do you reach for? Do you pick up the phone and speak to a friend? Do you phone a friend? Do you phone a relative? Do you phone your pastor, the church leader?
He's on holiday.
Oh,
he's been furloughed, sorry.
Do you pick up the phone and to someone who's going to tell you what you want to hear? You know, yeah, that's great. I had just on a lower level, I had a mate of mine just contact me last week, and he said, oh, I want to buy this bike. I'm desperate to buy this bike, but I need some accountability. He said, I'm going to see it Saturday. This was at the start of the week. He said, but I want to see it now. I've got to have it, yeah. And he wanted advice from me, but you could tell by the tone that whatever advice I give him,
he weren't going to listen.
He weren't going to listen.
I've got the bike. So what he's saying is, I've got the bike no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what. Yeah. I've got the bike no matter what. Yeah. It's like, oh gosh.
Yeah. How many times do you get that? You know. And they'll, people just go along with what they want, even if you don't affirm it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So who do we call then?
Ghostbusters.
We call Ghostbusters.
That famous old line, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. There's only one place. We've spoken about this quite a few times, I know, and sometimes I'm very flippant about things. So we got the pastors in the arena, the bishops, the leaders, the deacons.
Yeah.
And then we have the spiritual directors that have come out of nowhere. But even when I look at the council within the church isn't like the early church. You know, with the prophets, we've got all this stuff going on. So really, if I'm completely honest, there are, of course, very biblical and very glorious and beautiful men and women out there of God. But the first point of contact that I really have to go to has to be Christ.
It's got to be.
And what God does with the pastors and the leaders, he uses them to bring confirmation. But they're not my first point of call.
But you see, why wouldn't you go, first of all, to the person that knows you the best, the person that made you, the person that knew you before you was even born, the person that...
I'll tell you why. Because the church don't talk about Jesus. If the church would talk about Jesus, we would be in a very different spiritual position within the UK. Now, we can get in trouble, or I can get in trouble for saying this, but the church is not healthy. It's spiritually not healthy. It's off kilter. It really needs to repent. It really needs to repent of certain decisions. It really needs to repent and come back to God. The church in the UK is a very business-orientated animal.
We were just talking about it earlier, Ben, weren't we? You know, certain ministries...
He's hungry for money.
Put our post there, like network enabler, or, you know, and give them a set of key performance indicators. And it is very business-like. So, really, Ben, the church...
is not the go-to.
Well, it's certain ministries, they got to make decisions themselves.
Yeah.
Where do they go to? Listen to this, Ben.
I'll go to the one that's got the checkbook.
Yeah, the one who's got... the most money. Yeah. He's got a few could. We'll listen to him.
We'll spin him a line. This is a serious conversation because obviously this is about making and being having the courage to make wisely and godly decisions. But this is talking within the framework of leaders as well. And myself and Simon, we're not just throwing this stuff out there and being flippant. This is critical. We are living right at the brink. Right at the brink, the next 5 years in this nation are going to be absolutely critical for this nation, purely because we are spiritually thin and there is more plagues on the way. There is famines, there is desolations, there are wars, rumours of wars. We are living in end times. We are in the book of Revelation. There is a lot of things happening spiritually. And the church, I'm not talking about the body of Christ, I'm not talking about the bride, I'm talking about the business model. We cannot put weight into business. It has to be in the hands of God.
You know, Ben, I think now more than ever, you as an individual can't afford necessarily to listen to what your church denomination is saying. As an individual, it rests on you where you're going to put your foundation, where you're going to put your standard. Right, it really rests on you.
Yeah.
Is a decision taken by a church or a denomination or a leader, does it run with the spiritual word of God, or is it something that, as you quite rightly said, Ben, is a worldly decision? As the church embrace the world, or is it running very close and absolutely to the word of God? I love the look.
What have
we got? Listen to this, Isaiah 58:11. Listen to this, Ben.
Yeah.
Look, it says this. It says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a water garden and a spring of water whose waters do not fail." Now, you can't be any clearer than that. If you put your trust and turn to the Lord.
Mm. That's right. Yeah. It has to be.
He will guide you continually. That is your first call. Jeremiah 33:3, and you know, he says, call to me and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Scripturally, it's amazing. The stuff in the
Bible is beyond human comprehension. Now, Romans 1:17, for it is in the righteousness of God that is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The only way through this pandemic and what Simon is bringing to the table is literally leaning in to Jesus. I thank God for pastors. I thank God for Simon. I thank God for the people that I have around me. But they can only get me so far. People around us can only get so far. But it is Christ that will get you through any crisis of your life. Have we got the courage to make wise and godly decisions? Because here's another thing. When we make wise and godly counsel and godly decisions, what is it going to do? It will go against the tide of life. Because there is a difference between God's counsel and the counsel of the world. And they collide, but they don't stop God from moving. It's like a train. It's like a snow train. You know, the avalanche has fallen, the snow is on the track, and I just see this like, just allow me to use this, like God's word is like a snow train. It is unstoppable. It will make a path. When the avalanche of life has fallen on the track, and there is no, you can't see the track, but God's word is so powerful, and it is just driven. Nothing can stop that snow train. It is designed, it is equipped, it is built for trouble.
It will keep moving forward.
And what happens?
And even if it's just a foot a day or whatever, it will just keep moving forward.
It will keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And when you look at a snow train, what it does, at the front, in front, you can't see the tracks. But when you look at the back, you see there's a clear path. God clears the way for us. He is the one that will push through. The avalanches may be falling around your life. There may be snow over your tracks. You may be snowed under with worry and fear. But if you make God your snow train, please forgive me. If you know what I'm saying. If you make God your first point of call, he will cut through everything.
The thing, you're 100% right. And the thing I think to note here, guys, if you're listening, when you're listening out there, is this. A famous sports coach, Vince Lombardi, said it's not the big gains, it's the inches, you know, and the inches, that if you keep moving forward inch by inch, then you'll achieve the big gains.
It's so right, isn't it?
And it's the same here. If we keep moving forward on a daily basis with the word of God, getting behind it and making wise decisions, having the patience. Mm. Now, our friend with the bike, you have the patience to wait.
Yeah.
In I Want It Now society, do you have the patience to wait till you hear clearly from the Lord, or do you want to just go out and get it? You know, we've all been in that situation, haven't we?
And I'm still in them situations. Yeah. See, I love, God, I've got to be careful how I say this, God, I could be taken the wrong way. I love gadgets, I love nice things. I love being comfortable, as in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I have to be very careful, because I'm I understand what that guy's saying. Cool, yeah, look, I love that bike. Yeah, let's grab it. Let's go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then suddenly going, I've just signed up for it and I didn't really want it.
And you get buyer's remorse, don't you?
Exactly.
But listen to this, because there's a bit of equipment here, because you've been putting these podcasts together, doing it for a couple of years now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you bought a bit of equipment, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yes, yeah. It's that little red box there, Scarlett Focusrite box. I bought that at the Elium conference.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I bought it 2 years in advance.
Yeah.
I just felt, was it the Holy Spirit? Was it compulsion? I just see it and I thought, do you know what? I'll add that. I ain't got a clue what podcasting
is. You hadn't got a pot at the time.
I ain't had a pot, literally a pot. The church bank was dry, as it always, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it's 220 quid. How can I justify that? I couldn't. But I just felt this. So I purchased it and I got it back here in the office. And I thought, yeah, great. As normal. What do I want it for?
What do I do with it?
Put it on the shelf. Pandemic breaks, 2 years later down the line, podcast, bang. So, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
That's interesting.
It's very interesting how you could look at that. Was it Ben being compulsive, or was the Holy Spirit laying a way out that I'd have something in the bag, something would already be in the house that we could just drop off the shelf, plug it in, literally, and within hours, we're recording and we're being able to push content out. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
I mean, you bought, for example, we're just using that for an example, but you bought that and you didn't rush to use it.
Not at all. Didn't even have
the
box.
Because the timing wasn't right, was it?
The timing wasn't right.
And God's timing is what is perfect, isn't it?
Absolutely on point.
So if you're listening to your your pastor, your next door neighbour, your fellow down the pub, or the lady across the road at the school gate, and you're asking them for advice, that might be good advice, who knows? But wouldn't it be better to ask the person that knows you? I mean, keep it simple, stupid. You know, just ask the person that knows you best, Lord. So to get into that situation where we ask the Lord, what we got to do? We've got to clear the airways, haven't we?
We've
got to clean the house. We've got to get rid of the sin in our lives. Yeah. Got to get rid of anything that's blocking the communication.
And we might have sisters and brothers, men and women around the world listening to this, as we do, thousands of people listening to this, and go, where do I start? All we would say, or we would come to this simple understanding is, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. I repent. Lord, can you help me, Lord? Can you help me to make godly decisions? Because I'm so used to making decisions from my head. And that scripture that I read out and Simon has brought to the table, Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, if I bring everything to him, that is being wise. Have I got the courage to make wise and godly counsel? Have I got the courage to say, God, I've got to make a decision in my life, and what I want is probably different to what you want. So you come back to the garden in a roundabout way.
In a roundabout way, yeah.
Father, what is your will? What is your purpose? What is your plan? Because I've got two roads to go here.
Yeah.
And it's just like Gideon, isn't it? Are you really calling me or what? I'm going to throw the fleece out today, God. Can we just have a little check? Because I love that character of Gideon. I'm just going to throw the fleece out. He gets what he wants. And then he says, I'm still not quite sure. Can we just do it again? Can we just do it again? I think that is a very important text to remember, that Gideon was called, he was chosen, just like everybody on the other side of this mic, but we are still living in a very carnal and a very material and a world that is driven by the prince of the air. So we have to be very wise and we have to be very, very quiet in a way of listening. So that opens up another conversation, doesn't it? I've got to make a godly decision, but be still and know that I'm God. It's quiet, Lord. It's quiet.
It's not so quiet in here at the moment, it's quiet. That's the thing, Ben. But it leads into all sorts of things, because this was a massive decision for Gideon, wasn't it? And he didn't really want, he didn't really want to do it, did he?
No.
So he kept testing the Lord. So, you know, if you see something in front of you that you, you have to make a decision, do it. I'd rather sit and in the comfort and not make that decision.
That's right. Yeah.
Or if it's going to be uncomfortable, it's going to test me. Do you really want me to do that, Lord?
And actually, Simon, I think we're in complete agreement, and everyone will agree. Godly counsel goes completely against the flesh.
Yeah, totally.
So it, a decision will make you feel uncomfortable, but you know in your spirit it is right because you're being brought into a convictive position as well. I can't go down that road. Whereas before, we may have made a decision and not even thought about it. It was just natural for the body to go that way. But now God is calling us and we're getting deeper into a walk with him. That road that would have may have not even had a decision to be made on, we would have just continued to walk down that road. But now God is calling us to holiness and he is working in us. Then we come a bit more under conviction that when he turns up that dial inside our hearts.
Yeah, and so he's knocking off,
yes,
you know, the deeper stuff. And you're exactly right. But watch this, Ben. If you're in that communication with the Lord, if you're moving forward, then look what he says, what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, he said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone.
Wow.
Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?"
Praise God.
"Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So what he's saying is if you're in the will of God,
it's wisely and godly decisions, isn't it? It's like, seek. Look at that scripture, Matthew 7:7. "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives." Now, that scripture, we've got to be careful that scripture isn't taken out of context, isn't it? Because the true Pentecostal name it and claim it will go, ask and God will give you anything.
Yeah.
Financial reward, materialism, all that sort of stuff. When it's not talking about that, it's not referring to that. So the scriptures can be manipulated into man's understanding. So we are in a text that has been taken out of context for so many sermons are uncountable. Ask, it says, and it will be given to you. We are not talking about the name it and claim it. We are talking about someone that is hungry for God, that is thirsty for real answers, that is in absolute need, not for financial gain, because everyone's in that sort of arena, no matter where we are and what we sit. This is not a materialistic text that we can throw out and pray up and bring to God and expect to get a new car sitting on the drive or get your mortgage paid. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives." That is the clincher, verse 8 of Matthew 7. "For anyone who asks receives. Those who seek find. And those who knock, the door will be open." You know, I love this text because this is a really interesting text because God has already moved on us. But now we're believers. He expects us to live by faith. So we have certain areas where we've got to press in. Like, "Lord, I'm asking. Okay, Ben, what are you asking? Lord, I need peace. Okay. Lord, I've got a door in front of me, Lord, and I can't find a handle. Knock and I'll open the door. Father, I need you, Father, right now. You'll receive it." See, this is a... Simon has brought a really lovely text to the table this morning, Matthew 7:7-11. And God will give you the bread that you need. God will give you the sustenance that you need to get through. God will give you the strength. He will open the door. and we are not referring to the material door. We're not referring to the door of business and accolade and all the notoriety that goes with that. This is a very personal walk with God. This is the individual and Christ. This is the individual and the Holy Spirit. This is the individual and the power of God. This is really, really important to understand that this is not about material gain. This is about the power of God working in an individual's life, moving very, very fast in the kingdom of God, because God will open doors. God will open doors. There's a lot in this, Simon.
It's huge, yeah.
It's massive.
It's huge, but you're exactly right. To take it in the context of what it, in which it was written, it's not a simple thing as, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that. No, we have to be, you know, you have to be walk with the Lord and in the will of God.
Yeah.
And if it's right for you, then that will happen. And sometimes, you know, the door will open, but not when you want it, Ben.
That's right. That's exactly so. Right. It's like being in a corridor.
Yeah.
We've come through one door and then we're in a foyer.
Yeah.
And you can't see the handle on anyone, and you don't even know what door's going to open. But you've got to say, Father, I'm knocking on heaven's door. Lord, I'm asking you right now, Father, help me, because I can't find the handle on life. I can't get anywhere. I'm in a corridor. And I believe what we need to bring into that part of our lives when we're in a corridor, and there are many people in a corridor just waiting, be still and know that I'm God. Just find rest in the corridor and let Christ open the door. You know, there are many people that will want to open doors for you in your life, but it's the wrong door. God is speaking directly to you today. God will open that door, but you've got to be patient. You've got to endure the quietness and the stillness. God isn't always speaking like certain ministries keep telling us. God is very quiet. God is a God of order, and he will hold us in a wise position, and he will hold us in a holding area. He will keep us almost in suspense. Like if you look from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there was a gap of complete quietness for about 350 years where nothing happened.
Yeah, heavens were brass, weren't they? Nothing was going on. And that may be the same in your life. And because we live in a want-it-now society, God's testing our patience.
Yeah.
Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Like Proverbs 3, 5 and 6.
Trust
me. Do you really trust me? You say it, but do you really trust me? Just wait. Just wait with me. And how do I know that my decision is right? How do I know that I've made the right decision?
Yeah, yeah.
I believe you'll get an inner peace that will tell you. I believe without that inner peace won't be there. There'll be a sense of unrest, a sense of confusion.
Yeah.
But when you made a godly decision, because before we actually act that decision out, we make it in our heads, don't we, in
exactly.
our hearts. So,
yeah.
So we take our friend with a bike, he's made his decision to buy the bike.
Yeah.
As that, but he hasn't actually bought it, but he's made the decision in his heart that he's going to buy it. Does that rest in peace with you? Are you in peace with that?
Have you got inner peace? Now, that is a word. Do you know what? I'm so conscious lately, I'm so spiritually aware that I need to be very careful how we label things. When we talk about inner peace, we're not talking about a Hindu religion. We're not talking about an out-of-body experience. We're not talking about transcendental meditation. When we're talking about inner peace, we're talking about the peace that comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We are talking about that peace that Christ stepped through the wall when he stepped back into time, when he came through that three-dimensional place, when he came back for Thomas. What did he say to Thomas? Peace be with you. You know, when you look at that story of Thomas, they was in lockdown. The windows were barred, the doors were locked for fear of the Jews and the authorities on the outside. And Christ knew that Thomas was feeling not very good about the situation, because Christ had revealed himself to everybody else but Thomas. You might be a Thomas today, and you're waiting, you're trying to find godly counsel, you're trying to make wise, and you're trying to have the courage to make a good decision and a wise biblical decision, but you haven't got inner peace. You haven't got inner peace. That peace, I believe Christ, the Holy Spirit, will step through. God can walk through the fabric of any wall. He's not restricted by territory. He's not restricted by masonry. He's not restricted by the world. Christ came through the wall and he said to Thomas, peace be with you. We believe wherever you are today, you are hungry for peace. And we've been looking for peace in other areas of the world. But it is only the power of God that can give you that peace, that inner peace. Be careful how we use that terminology, because there are a lot of religions that are taking words out of the scripture and manipulating and using them for other areas of religion. But Simon has made something really, really important. He's made a very important, brought something very important to the table. Are you lacking peace today? You will only find that peace in Christ.
Yeah. And Ben, you're exactly right. That is for me, it's the biggest indicator. If you're not sleeping at night on a decision, and these things happen, don't they?
Of course they do.
If you're wrestling with it,
yeah.
But and you make a decision, and it's not, you haven't got the peace of the Lord, then maybe you should go back and check your decision. We love the Psalms. We love what you got. I've got two Psalms before we quickly move on to another area within this that I want to touch on before we leave. Two Psalms, Ben. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go.
Wow.
I will guide you with my eye.
Wow.
And he says, goes on to say, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 32, verse 8.
And the second one is Psalm 37, 23, 24. Psalm 37, 23, 24. It says this, and you know it, Ben. It says, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand.
I love that.
You may make a wrong decision, and the Lord's not going to leave you in the mud. He's got you. He says, get up, and we'll go again.
Yeah, 100%. That is just, God has got you wherever you are. The psalmist also writes, he says, I was pushed back and about to fall, but God saved me. So even in a decision, you may be the most godliest person around. You may be you may be really seeking God and really stretching in and really praying and really pressing and really looking for God, and still made a flesh decision.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It is so easy to make a flesh decision. But as the psalmist says, I was pressed on every side. See, also, when we are pressed, when we are in the court, and when the law is bearing down on us, and when we can feel the handcuffs on us of life, when we're in a position where you've got to think quickly and act quickly, it is so easy to work and to go with your computing and with your thinking, rather than going, God, what are you saying? So you might be the most holiest person on the earth. We're still going to make wrong decisions. We're still going to make decisions that are not correct. But he will catch us in our bad decision-making.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world, is it? Because the power of repentance, the power of his grace, the power of peace, the power of his word, the psalmist writes, I was about to fall. I was about to fall. I was pushed back, but God saved me. I love that.
That gives
me peace. The scripture alone gives me peace.
That's it.
To know, as a pastor, a leader, a reverend, vicar, all these labels we got over us, I'm going to make bad decisions. I'm going to make deadly, dangerous decisions that are not lined up with God's word.
But we are going to make them decisions, but we can make them less and less.
Exactly, Simon. Exactly. The closer we get, the closer we work, the closer we walk, the closer. You know,
make godly decisions, can't we? So, you know, there's that old phrase, you know, good ideas aren't always God ideas, are they? Do you know?
That's exactly,
How do you make God laugh while you're telling me your plans? So we've got that. We can make some bad decisions, but we'll make less and less.
Yeah.
If we take the right course of action.
Exactly.
Now, very quickly before we close on this, I want to just mention something that another area where I used to go to, and I know many people do, they dive into horoscopes to make decisions. They go and see a spiritualist, they go and see a medium, a fortune teller. And I used to go and see a fortune teller. I used to love going to see these fortunes before I was a Christian. I wanted to know the future. I want to know what where I was going. And this lady had a flat in Barking, on a high rise block in Barking in Essex. You know, I went once and there was a sign on the door saying "cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances." No, that's that bit's not
so
true.
So she was great at telling the.
But I used to go and see this lady once every 3 months for some direction. And she would tell me that there was people that if their kiddie was ill, their child was ill, they would phone her first before they phoned a doctor.
Wow.
This is the situation that people get themselves in.
This is real.
This is real, yeah.
And why do they do that?
Well, because they think she can foretell the future. They think she can give them hope and whatever. But if we look in our Bible, look in Leviticus 19:31, it makes it quite clear. He says, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Yeah. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." So what God's saying, don't go down that route.
Divination. It makes it very clear.
Very clear.
It's of the occult. But the flesh is attracted to what's coming my way.
Yes, yeah.
And Lucifer uses the vehicle of witchcraft. He uses the vehicle of sorcery. He uses all these vehicles of teabag reading, tarot cards, Ouija boards. He uses all the other side of the cross. I can find out what my future is if I ask Jesus. God will say in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." God will not reveal everything to me, but the more that I lean into him, the more I live by faith. Faith will tell me what is in store for me.
Ben, and really, as a born-again believer who's spirit-filled and following the word of God, I don't really worry about what's before me.
No, because I agree with you.
Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He knows what's best. Lord, if it's your will, then...
Comes back to that again, doesn't it? Yeah. Your will, your purpose.
If it's your will. I don't want to know, I know my futures.
In the Lamb's Book of Life. That's very clear. What we do know is that we are heaven bound. We know that we are saved. We know that God loves us. We know these fundamental points of Christianity. We know this stuff, and that's all we need to know. And we don't really need to know the future because God will not reveal all that to us. But what he does, he reveals his word moment by moment. And then when we actually look back, I know we're not talking about looking back, but when I look back, I think, do you know what? God's plan was on my life there. I see that.
Yeah, because you'll be in a situation, you think, Lord, why am I in this situation? And then 6 months later, you think, well, if I wasn't in that situation, I wouldn't be here now. And I don't want to leave this place now.
Yeah.
You know, that's... that's very true. So we have to be careful who we talk to and seek guidance with. And really, if it's very tempting to pop along and see a medium or a fortune teller or read the horoscopes, people do that. But you know, living your life by that is the Lord said it's not right. It's not right. You know, he wants you to seek him.
Yeah,
and he doesn't. You know, don't look too far into the future. See, right now, right at this moment in the time frame of where we are in history, there's many, many prophets out there.
That's right, and it's
not spelt with, it's spelt P-R-O-F-I-T, because these prophets are giving wrong prophecies.
They're a bow.
And you can jump on the internet, you can jump on YouTube till you find something that fits what you want it to say, do you know?
We're in a world that is lifting up the planet more than lifting up God. We have, maybe stepping over the line with this, we have a government that is very pagan, very Masonic, and very caught in a cultic
world. It's humanist. It's a humanist.
Humanism is laced in all this because we are not seeing godly counsel. you know.
So people, rather than jumping in to the book, rather than getting on their knees and getting before the Lord and seeking the Lord with all their heart, they're seeking a prophet who's going to tell them, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and I'm going to make my decisions by this prophet, or send me, you know, 50 quid and I'll tell you what your future is.
No.
Yes, you can speak to people, but your first port of call has
got to be God.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
The Father. The Word of God, Christ, the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, it says, I forget the reference because it's just pinged in my head. It says, you do not need man to teach you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher.
I think it's John 16, somewhere down about that. Yeah,
it makes a very clear reference. Clear. Yeah, and also in the Old Testament it says, don't trust in wine, women and chariots and horses. Don't trust in humanity.
Yeah.
Don't trust in that. Lean into God. But we are living within a very business orientated church within the UK, a very dangerous place. If I put all my weight into a or the denomination and not into the arms of Christ, we are in a Garden of Gethsemane where we've got to be saying, what is the will of the Father? What is your will, God? What is your purpose? What is your plan?
And if you don't get an answer, don't move.
Be still and know that I'm God.
Be still and know I'm God. But the first port of call is pick up the phone, dial Jesus. And
it's all the way through, isn't it?
All the way through.
It's all the way through, you know. It's, gosh, we're living in powerful times. Simon, that time has just ran again. Ran out. You know, you've been listening to Simon Pinchbeck. You're listening to myself, Reverend Ben Cooper. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Sometimes we just stop these almost quite abruptly, but because there is a continuum, so this will continue, this will carry on wherever you are across the world today. We thank you so much. You can catch us in so many places. May God bless you and strengthen you in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, you are in the will of the Father. Simon, we've reached that point again, haven't we?
We have, and then we just want to say to anyone out there, you know, if you're wrestling with struggling with small decisions or big decisions, you know, listen, God wants to be in every single decision that you make.
Yeah.
Why? Because everything's small to God, isn't it? We have a huge God. Everything's
He's
small
enormous.
To
him. Yeah. He's so big. God bless you. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing everything we do here. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk, Simon Pinchback, and myself, Ben Cooper. God bless. Bye-bye.